What's up, degenerates? We're working into week one of the NFL season. I'm your host, the Dynasty Degenerate, Mr. Steve Sampson. I'm joined tonight by our newest host, Mr. Ben Steffen, the International Degenerate. How are you doing tonight, Ben?
I'm doing great tonight. My week is over for work, so I'm looking forward to my weekend. I got my home league draft on Sunday. Going down to Niagara Falls, see the boys, play some golf, have a good weekend, and ready to go.
Awesome. Yeah, we just did the original Degenerates live draft this last Sunday. Got to see Eric and all the boys that made this podcast possible. Great time. And we're also joined tonight again by friend of the show, Listener League member Levi. Levi, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm also looking forward to my home league draft this weekend. But most of my other drafts are done, so excited to get into the season.
Awesome. Yeah, we're doing, I think four drafts going right now. We got Sergeant Rock's annual draft that we're doing, you and I. I actually joined a vampire league with a friend of the show, Id Cleric, that he's running. I've got a keeper league that I'm doing that's just about done. And I've got one other one that's coming up. So, yeah, definitely draft season. Everybody should be getting into or finishing their drafts and getting ready for Thursday night's games. So we got a little bit of news here regarding the show. We're going to be doing all of our Listener League redraft judgments over the next few days. So all five leagues are going to get their judgments. Those will come out on our judgments feed. If you're interested in listening, that's Daydreaming Degenerates Judgments on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you're not familiar with our judgments, we break down each team's draft, give it kind of a score, point out low spots, point out high spots, kind of allude to maybe what they could have done better, what they could have done worse, and give them kind of an area to work through. A lot of our listeners and fans appreciate it, so we're continuing to do them. I know Ben and I were doing yours on Monday.
Yeah, I believe Monday night's going to be working out for everybody involved.
Nice.
Can't wait to talk some shit.
Absolutely.
Teams, hear about mine and how terrible it is. I mean, get everybody amped up.
That's why you're on the show, right? Those who can do, those who can't teach.
Exactly.
And I think we've got Listener League 1 is going to be done on Sunday afternoon. I've got a couple members from overseas that are going to be joining me to go through Listener League 1. And then the other leagues I've got scheduled for different times for this weekend. So it's going to be a lot of recording, a lot of editing to get the episodes out for you guys. So hopefully you'll enjoy them, be able to laugh and some of the analysis that we have. So we'll jump into a little bit of news. Not a whole lot yet that the season hasn't started, but there's a few things that we can talk about.
Breaking news.
So I think the biggest news so far, Russell Wilson gets paid. 5-year contract, $245 million, $165 million guaranteed. I hadn't seen any more details on it or breakdown yet, but they might be out by now. What do you guys think about this? I think it's pretty decent for Russ. The Broncos probably won't make the Super Bowl for 5 more years now, but I'm happy for Russell Wilson. He's got a good contract. He's on a good team. What do you guys think about it?
Big money, kind of expected with the big money that's been going around to quarterbacks lately. How these teams are going to manage to fill holes, we'll see. Like, the Chiefs are feeling it right now with Mahomes' deal coming around and losing guys like Tyreek Hill, having to move guys like that. We'll see if it hurts them, how bad it does, or if it really is just the quarterback. I don't know. Russ has got a good team around him at the moment, so they need to capitalize before some of those wide receiver contracts come around. But the guy deserves it. He's on a Hall of Fame path. And this will take him to 38. Like, he could probably finish up not too long after this deal's over.
Yep, I think I can agree with that. Levi, what do you think about it?
As Ben said, it was pretty much expected, right? I'm sure that they had this in the works from the moment they traded for him. You know, it gives them a little bit of flexibility waiting this long in terms of signing other players and whatnot. So, you know, it's kind of, yeah, expected.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, Seattle wasn't going to pay him. It made sense for them to trade him. Denver's got the money. Good move all around. So we'll move on to the second quarterback contract. And Jimmy G was signed to he restructured his contract for this year for a one-year deal with $6.5 million guaranteed. He gets another $500,000 in roster bonuses and up to $9 million in playtime guarantees. I have been a proponent all offseason that there's no way that San Francisco is getting rid of Jimmy because I did not think Trey Lance is ready. After June 1st, they had to pay him $20 million. They weren't just going to cut him and let him go to a team like Seattle or, you know, another one of their competitors. So I kind of think this is a great deal for Jimmy, especially working in the $9 million in playtime guarantees. I can't really see that he's going to do that and agree to a contract like that if they're not, you know, assuring him that he's going to get some ability to actually earn those bonuses. So I'm kind of thinking that Lance isn't ready, like I've been saying, and Jimmy might actually have a shot to take over again as a starter. What do you guys think of his contract and the outlook?
Well, I think this is a great deal for both Jimmy and the team. You know, he stays in a situation where he's comfortable. He knows the offense. They're familiar with him, all of these things. The team also gets insurance on Lance. You know, even if they are going with him as their guy, he is a running quarterback. He's going to take more hits. He has a higher chance to get injured. Additionally, it's great for Jimmy because he's not jumping into a team where he's just expected to perform right off the bat with no training camp or anything. So I think it's a really good deal for all parties.
Yeah, I don't know. I like it for Jimmy G. He could be a sneaky waiver wire ad down the line. The trend with these young guys coming in and taking over is they wait that year, they establish, the incumbent is gone. Like Patrick Mahomes, Alex Smith didn't stick around. Lamar Jackson, Joe Flacco didn't stick around. When those guys got supplanted, it was over. We're not sure if Trey Lance has actually supplanted Jimmy G or the team just feels like they have to make that move with what they paid for Trey Lance. I don't know. I like Trey Lance as a fantasy guy. It'd be great if he was the only guy on the team. You guarantee he's going to start all the games, but you could easily see that this team loses two games in a row somewhere and Jimmy G hops back in and they make the playoffs again because the team's really good.
Yeah. I mean,
tough.
So here's my thing with where I kind of disagree with what you say. Lamar, Patrick, those guys sat, they came out and played like Patrick Mahomes that last game of the season, played an excellent game. He was ready. He came out and showed he was ready. They could afford to get rid of Alex Smith. Lamar, same thing. They saw that they were able to get rid of him and it wasn't going to detrimentally hurt the team. Then you step into a situation like Jordan Love, who was supposed to supplant Rodgers. They planned on it and it came time to get rid of Rodgers. And hey, wait a minute, this guy's not very good. He hasn't developed yet. And I think we better keep Rodgers. I think you're seeing the same situation in San Fran. Trey Lance didn't look that great in preseason.
Well, that's what I mean. That's kind of what I'm hitting at is I don't think it's over for Jimmy with that team.
You know? So I would not be surprised at all to see Jimmy, you know, taking over at quarterback during the week one game. And you know, working Lance in. And maybe sometime later in the season he takes over if he's ready. But I don't think he's ready. I think he needs another year. And I think, and that's kind of what I've been saying all offseason, that they have Jimmy for this year. They keep him. And the contract kind of says to me that they're thinking along the same lines. So Time will tell. But I'm taking a small victory lap for right now. So that'll move us on to Darren Waller. We said on the last episode that we believe that that we believe that Darren Waller was looking for a new contract. And as soon as he got wind that he was going to have one, he was probably going to be healthy again. I think it was Saturday that they announced that they were working on a new deal for roughly $16 million. All of a sudden, Darren Waller's back at practice. No signs of a hamstring injury. It's crazy.
We nailed it.
So today was the fifth day. Yesterday was the fifth day after he fired his agents. He has taken on Drew Rosenhaus. So Darren Waller's getting paid. It's going to be roughly in the range of the $16 million, but he's about to get paid. Any thoughts on this, guys, or have we kind of covered it last week?
No, we got it last week.
Pretty much, yeah. He about doubles what he was getting paid. He was getting $9 million a year before and getting the guarantees. I think, I don't think we confirmed whether or not he was done with his guarantees, but likely was considering it was the end of his previous deal. So
yeah, I believe
he's getting that money.
His contract was for $6.2 million or something like that per year, plus bonuses. But this the range that he's looking is going to be up in the range where he should be at for the production that he's had over the last 2 years. I mean, he's been second to Kelsey over the last 3 years, so the guy deserves to get paid. And they obviously have a decent amount of money that they've saved off of Gruden's contract with releasing some of these other guys. So there's been money able to be freed up for Waller. All right, so the last piece of news, terrible news at the time. We've gotten better news since. Sunday afternoon, Brian Robinson was involved in a carjacking where he was shot multiple times, ended up in the hospital, was in stable condition, and I believe it was a lower leg and the glute, if I'm remembering what I read correctly, where he was shot. They put him on the non-football injury list, and that puts him at a minimum of 4 games. Personally, I think it's going to be more than 4. I would say roughly, you know, with conditioning time, if everything goes best case, I would say between week 6 and week 8, but probably closer to week 8. What do you guys think about it, and how fast are you trying to trade for Gibson now?
I still don't love Gibson, but it's definitely going to give him a second opportunity.
Well, they did also release Jarrett Patterson. So there's really nobody behind Gibson other than McKissick.
Yeah, McKissick was the guy that I went out and tried to get claims in on, especially in some dynasty leagues where he wasn't rostered. It was nice to be able to grab him. But the timing of everything was wild. Because it felt like, what, cut like 3 hours before the shooting hit Twitter was news of him supplanting Gibson as the probable starter, and everybody in drafts or anybody making claims getting him on their rosters. And then I know I had at least 3 leagues where I got him, and then bam, it was just hit out of nowhere that he's got shot. And it just got, I don't know, no one knew how bad, no one knew much. And then following that day, just my phone was blowing up. So the timing feels crazier than what actually happened. Yeah, Gibson, hopefully he capitalizes on his second shot, and we'll see if Robinson can get back on the field this year and make a meaningful impact for fantasy rosters.
Yep, I would agree. Levi?
Yeah, it seems like it went about as well as it can for someone getting shot twice in the leg. Apparently he was back on crutches at the team facility Tuesday and Wednesday, so you know he's looking to be on the mend. I think you're probably around week 8 is probably when I would expect it as well. So Gibson looks to have a really nice share of the backfield to start the season. But I don't know if you can trade for him right now. People are going to be higher on him than they were previously. So
yeah, the Gibson hype is up with Robinson being down. So it might be an expensive buy, but if you can, you know, if you can find a reasonable price for him, it's worth going out and taking a shot.
Yeah, get a strong start to your season.
Yeah, absolutely. So that kind of brings us to the end of the news. There's been a couple of trades with all the cuts and everything. So we will go over the trades and what fantasy impact we think those are going to have.
NFL trades.
So the first trade we're going to talk about is near and dear to Rockstar's heart, the Laviska Shenault trade to Carolina. What'd they give up? A seventh
and a fifth, I believe. Yeah. A fifth that could become a fourth.
Correct. Yeah. So I think for both parties involved that this is a great trade. I think Laviska gets out of the dumpster fire that is Jacksonville, goes to a team that needs a wide receiver two or three, and is going to be with a quarterback who has a pretty decent deep ball that he can take advantage of. You being your team, Rockstar, what do you think of this trade, and where would you be looking to grab Laviska in redraft, if at all, and kind of what would you be looking to pay for him in Dynasty right now?
Yeah, so I think it means that team has not a lot of faith in Terrace Marshall Jr. panning out to what they hoped he could be, and his injuries might actually be mounting. I know Rule had said that TMJ needed to get on the field. They needed to see more of him in practice. So his constant injuries, they might have been just looking to hedge their bets and get somebody else. We'll see. Because Shy Smith has had a good camp. DJ is obviously the one. Robbie seems to be the two. But I like the move because you can't have too many weapons. And he's really versatile, so they could use him in a lot of different ways. He could be a Debo type guy for us where he gets a lot of screens. He does a lot of end arounds. He might line up in the backfield, spell McCaffrey on some of those things, which is nice to have because Chuba hasn't looked good doing that. As far as redraft, I don't know if you can draft him, but he'd definitely keep an eye on him if they start using him. Dynasty, he'd be a nice grab if you can get him for cheap, maybe a fourth round pick or a third round pick, or swap it out for a, if you can get him for his teammate, Terrace Marshall, that'd be okay too. I'd probably rather have Laviska than Terrace Marshall at this point. I don't know. Tough buy, but the upside could be really good if they use him how he was meant to be used, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's pretty spot on. I honestly could see him beating out Robbie because I don't have a whole lot of faith in Robbie, and having Shy Smith, you know, become the wide receiver three. Levi, what do you think about the trade?
Well, I mean, Ben's the Panthers fan. I pretty much would just echo what he said, right? He's the expert here. Now, I do think that end arounds and whatnot are, you know, a place where you want to have an athlete like Laviska, and they didn't really have a guy like that. So potentially a good wide receiver three. You know, for redraft, you're probably not gonna look at him unless one of the top two guys gets injured. But you know, there's some upside and some potential there, and you know, a fresh start for a young guy. So that could be good for him.
Yep, I think so. So three out of three degenerates agree that Laviska to Carolina is a good trade. So now we'll talk about a bad trade. Well, maybe not a bad trade, but a bad player. Jalen Reagor gets traded to the Vikings. I think it was just for a seventh round pick.
I think so, yeah.
Great for Reagor. He actually was a player that was looked at by the Vikings during the draft a couple years ago. There's always been some talent there. I don't know if that he's not ruined by now, but I'm slightly optimistic that he can, you know, maybe rejuvenate his career a little bit in Minnesota, and hopefully, you know, become a decent wide receiver three for fantasy. But I think that's probably extremely optimistic at this point. What do you guys think about the Reagor to Vikings trade? I know it's kind of minor, but
I think he gets his best passing quarterback he's had in his career. Might take a year to pay off this trade, but he's really young. He's only 23. If they can get him familiarized, let him sit or get some reps in, play where he's needed, spell guys like Thielen and get out there. I mean, JJ takes all the coverage on that team, and Thielen's getting up there in age. like a year from now or so, he could be a viable like wide receiver three if things go correctly. But his career's just been so bad that it's hard to look at any positives. But that's the only positive spin I can get out of it, is he's got an upgrade in quarterback play and a potential for a real shot at a good team.
So let me pose this scenario to you, because it's kind of what you said is kind of the line that I'm thinking on with him. So they cut Amir Smith-Marset, who was kind of moving in to be the three, and they trade for Jalen Reagor. I can see a path that they like the talent that he has, or potentially has, size, ability, et cetera. They felt confident enough to get rid of their guy and trade for this guy who was a first-round pick. I mean, does that maybe kind of strengthen your view that he could be the wide receiver three on the team and sooner rather than later? Or do you think it's going to take Thielen ending up leaving the team?
I think Thielen has to leave, because isn't KJ Osborne still there too?
He is.
Yeah, so he'd be the three, because he had a good year last, like good games last year anyway. I figure he would have been the three, and Reagor will slot in around the four. But until he's like familiar with the system and familiar with the team, he's not going to get a whole lot of looks. I don't think they're going to force feed a guy that they don't need to when they have a guy that they should be force feeding the ball to. That's why I think it might take a bit, and they're not going to go away from Thielen. He's an end zone target machine for some reason. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't see it happening this year. But I could be, I don't know, it'd be cool if I was wrong, because the guys had a bad shake. It'd be cool to see him emerge.
Yeah. I mean, he's dealing 6'2", Rager's 5'11", so, but right around the same build and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, Thielen's just such a freak athlete for the, you know, what he actually plays in the offense, that he's been able to carve out a role for himself in Minnesota. So I think you're right. I think it will take him leaving before Reagor is actually going to be able to work into any type of relevance. Levi, what do you think about the trade and Rager's future with the Vikings?
I'm not too optimistic. Thielen came into the league as an older rookie, and you know, so a bit less wear on him, and all reports say that he looks as good as he has in years, and he's healthy this year. So I think you're waiting at least a year before anything happens. I did look up. So the Reagor trade was for a 7th and a conditional 4th, and the Chenault trade was for a 7th and a 2024 sixth rounder. Okay. I think I like the Chenault trade better still. Like, you know, you get an athlete that fills a particular role in your, on your team, and yes, it's a cheaper deal. So I don't know, not too optimistic about Reagor in Minnesota.
Okay. There you have it. The Midwesterner does not like the Vikings.
Am I a Midwesterner?
You're still in the flyover states, my friend.
Oh, okay.
Even though you're on the very far end of it.
If you say so.
My American geography is terrible. I couldn't tell you where you are.
I'm in Montana.
I just know that's south of me. That's all I know.
south and a bit west.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So that, I believe that's the only trades that happened. Let's see.
If so, there are others, they don't matter for fantasy.
They didn't,
right?
Matter. Yeah, I mean, these barely matter. But I know the LaVisca one that Rockstar would want to talk about, and Reagor was my guy for a couple of years, so. I'm really hopeful. Hopefully it works out for him, but like I said, I'm vaguely optimistic that it might. So we'll move on to some of the more key cuts that happened over the course of Monday and Tuesday, and what kind of fantasy relevance and stuff that they potentially might have.
Free agent frenzy.
So the first one we're going to talk about, I think, is Duke Johnson from Buffalo. Cut by Buffalo, re-signed to their practice squad. I mean, Duke Johnson's a name that gets thrown around quite a bit, especially in Dynasty. as a potential flyer at running back. Oh, Duke Johnson went here. He did great. Duke Johnson went here. He did great. Honestly, I don't really think that the landing spot in Buffalo this year was that good for him. He couldn't beat out Singletary. Obviously didn't beat out Moss either. So, and then they brought in Cook. So I tend to think myself that Duke Johnson has kind of outlived his relevance, but he's probably still worth a hold on deeper dynasty rosters. Ben, what do you think about Duke Johnson, and is he a hold for you, or are you letting him go?
Oh, I'm letting him go. Most of the guys on this list, outside of maybe three of them that we're going to talk about, I'm looking at this list more as a, how does this affect, or what do I think about this move, and how, like, for the other guys at that position on the team. So I think Duke Johnson getting practice squatted or dropped and then re-signed to the practice squad just means James Cook is going to be the passing down back on this team. Like, that's basically all that tells me is Cook beat him. That's all really I'm getting out of that. No interest really in having Duke Johnson anywhere. He never really did anything for me before, but it's like since Kareem Hunt came to Cleveland, he's basically been nothing on any of my teams. So
yeah, fair enough. Levi?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. He hasn't really been relevant for fantasy in any way for several years. He's older. There's not a ton of upside, and he's a practice squad guy, so not a whole lot of reason to have him on even dynasty rosters, I think.
I mean, he was relevant last year in Miami, wasn't he?
Was he?
Exactly. I didn't. Not really.
I guess if he was, I don't remember it. So
last year, well, five games with Miami, 71 touches, 330 yards, three touchdowns. He's not a passing guy for the most part since he's left Cleveland. I guess he had the first year in Houston, he did 60 targets, but they've kind of weaned him off of being a passing down guy for whatever reason. He was the best back in the backfield in Miami last year. Let's put it that way.
He had one big game, which no one would have ever had him for.
Right.
And then his only other game of the year that was big was week 18, which, unless you have a weird fantasy league, that week doesn't matter.
Yeah. So we can all agree Duke Johnson can be dropped.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
OJ Howard, next guy up. Dropped from the Bills, was actually kind of surprising. Re-signed by Houston. I know there's a lot of skepticism on Howard and how he's come back from the injury, whether he's going to be a decent tight end. There was talent there before he got hurt. I think that there's a possibility that in an offense that is going to be a couple of years to develop, like Houston, that he's going to have an opportunity. I don't know, outside of a really, really deep dynasty where I've already got him, that I really want to go out and get him. And it definitely has no redraft allure to me at all. But what do you guys think about OJ Howard, and would you keep him if you have him in dynasty? Are you looking to add him as a kind of a stash, or are you just going to stay away? Levi?
I mean, maybe in a really deep league, if it's like tight end premium or something, but I think in dynasty, like, there's so many young guys that have the potential to develop that have, in my opinion, a much higher ceiling at this point, just because we haven't seen what they can do. Guys like Donald Parham, guys like Revan Jordan, who's also on Houston, I'd much rather have that type of tight end, and you can get them really cheap. So I wouldn't really be looking at OJ at all, I don't think.
That's fair. Bear? Ben?
I mean, if I have him, I'm not dropping him because now he's got opportunity. I think maybe more targets than he might have ever had in his career because he had Brate there all the time. Then he had Gronk and Brate. And if he went to Buffalo, he would have had Knox. They don't really have they have Brevin Jordan, but he's still young, not established as like the tight end on the team. Like OJ Howard, if he develop some chemistry with Mills, like he could easily be the second or third offensive target on that team. So,
They don't really have that many receiving options either. You know, you got Brandon Cooks and
Nico
Collins, because Mechie's unfortunately came down with the diagnosis of having cancer.
Yeah, so I'll keep an eye on him, like star him, maybe keep an eye, see how it goes, and like if it's starting to trend up and it looks like his workload's going up or he's getting those red zone targets or something, keep an eye on it, maybe add him later. But I wouldn't drop him, I don't think. And I don't value the position a whole lot outside of tight end premium leagues. So on dynasty rosters, I don't usually don't have outside of one good tight end. I usually don't have a whole lot. So he might be a guy I kind of try to sneak in on rosters where I have a spot. But tough one.
Yeah. He's a guy I'm holding. I have him in a decent amount of spots. But usually I have enough depth at the position that I can hold a guy like him and just see what happens. So we'll move on from him. Sony Michel was released by Miami. Ben alluded to it last week. He can take his small victory lap.
Yeah.
Not that much.
Chase Edmonds.
Yeah. So Sony was dropped by Miami, signed by the Chargers. This, to me, is a good move for the Chargers if they're going to be looking to go deep into the postseason to add that experience depth behind Eckler. You still have Spiller there. Obviously, they don't believe too much in Roundtree and
Kelly.
Kelly. They definitely don't believe in Kelly because they keep drafting
him. I think they cut Roundtree.
I think you're right.
I'm pretty. Yeah.
I think he went at the week two cuts to get down to 85. But they definitely don't believe in Kelly. They haven't. That's why they continue to draft running backs and sign guys. So do you think Michel moves right into the number two spot? Or do you think he's going to be behind Spiller? Ben?
I think it's still Spiller's job. Sony's a good depth add for the team. Like you said, they're a team that's going to be contending. They can't really afford to not have someone on this team that can step in and take some carries. If Eckler goes down, he's proven to be a great back, but he's not the most sturdy when it comes to health. And then obviously with Spiller, they can't really bank on a rookie who's also had some injury issues. And then they obviously don't trust Josh Kelly to take a whole season. So he's a good add for the team. I'd probably out on him in fantasy this year unless something crazy happens and he has a stretch where he's killing it. Might try to go buy him, but by then it's probably too much. Hold him if you have him in dynasty, but anywhere else he's probably not draftable. Just keep an eye on.
Yep, I would agree with that. I might even be trying to trade him in dynasty to somebody who's up on a little bit of the hype. Levi, what do you think?
Pretty much just agree with what Ben said there. You know, good depth piece, not important for fantasy unless there's some injuries. So, yeah, good for the Chargers.
I would agree. So we'll move on. The rest of these are, well, there's one more, two more, I guess. Well, one's decent and the other one's just interesting for fantasy. We'll start with Marlon Mack, released from Houston. They re-signed him on the practice squad. I think that's a good move for Mack. It's a good move for Pierce because it gives him the opportunity to take the backfield and start with it without the pressure of somebody breathing down his neck that it's going to take the job. It also gives Marlon Mack the opportunity to continue recovering from that Achilles and get back more of his range of motion, things like that. I don't think it has much fantasy relevance now, but I do think later on in the season that he'll probably get called up and become the two, which may have some fantasy implications if the offense for Houston actually does start to get going a little bit. What do you guys think about Marlon Mack and if there's any potential at all for him this year in fantasy? Ben?
Oh, I just thought it was a really funny day. If you play on Sleeper and you've ever opened a notification for a player update and the chat goes off with how does this affect Marlon Mack, it was a hell of a day for Sleeper in that regard because it was actually something that affected Marlon Mack. It doesn't mean much to me for fantasy. It just proves that Pierce is the guy that they want touching the ball. And then Mack's just hurt, so they can't really do much with him. So get him off the roster, get him on the practice squad, bring him up if they need him.
Yeah. Levi?
Yeah, poor Marlon Mack, man. Like, you know, he was starting to get a little bit of shine with the Colts, and they draft Taylor, and he has that injury. So kind of sad for him. More hype train for Damian Pierce, right? He's an excellent pass protector and a good pass catcher. So this solidifies him even more as the starter in that backfield. And how high can he go in drafts is the question.
He's into the fourth. I know this because I've taken him in the fourth.
Yeah, I think that's a bit high for me, but
well, no. that was in a keeper league, so it really was like okay. He was my seventh pick, but still, I think the fifth is as high as I've seen him go in a regular redraft. But if he stays there, I think it's possible that he can return. If he gets any higher than that this year, Houston really has to be good for him to be able to return on.
Yeah,
you know.
If you get him in the fifth, you're getting some good volume. You know, he should be the starter there. There's potential. If you're taking him in the fourth, you're taking him over some really good wide receivers in that range. And I don't think that's a good play.
Yeah.
Home league for Reed, IR on sleeper. He got him in the ninth, the very start of the ninth round.
Yep.
In a draft that he's in the middle of right now. So that's surprising that it's that late, but,
surprising that he let him fall that late.
Yeah, home leagues, it tends to you get values like that. Some guys don't always see those news updates. So if you're paying a little bit more attention, you might be able to let him slide a little bit.
Well, it especially depends on the ADP of the site that you're drafting on. It does. Right? Because people tend to follow that. And I know that at least, you know, as recently as a few days ago, he was still an 11th round pick on ESPN. So depending on where you're drafting, you might be able to get him a little bit later.
So I did a draft on Yahoo, and I hated every minute of it, but last Monday night, I got invited to a league last minute by a friend. And so I drafted a league on Yahoo, and I got Pierce in like the eighth or ninth round, because Yahoo's ADP is so messed up, it's crazy. I was able to grab a ton of talent without having really to reach because of how their ADP was. So it depends on where you're drafting. It really does. And one thing to note too with Reed's team is, and his home league, is they're in Texas. So
they should know.
They should know. Like this kid's been getting a ton of hype where the rest of us live in his home state that he's playing in. He's getting, 10 times the amount of hype. So they should have known. So kudos to him for getting him as late as he did. I don't remember which site he was on that he drafted it on, but
it's on Sleeper.
Is it? So,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He'll be happy we said something good about him.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually we're just shitting on how bad of a commissioner he is and that all of his leagues suck, but they don't. He's one of the best commissioners of leagues that I'm in. So,
definitely.
Shout out to Reed.
Really fun to give him a hard time.
It is. So we'll move on. Just an honorable mention also because I think Reed was the one that was tooting his horn about Josh Gordon. Cut by Kansas City. I believe he got signed to the practice squad for Tennessee today. Shout out to Josh Gordon for apparently getting his substance abuse under control, if not being sober, which I believe he is currently. So hopefully it works out for him in Tennessee. There's a big opportunity for wide receivers there with A.J. Brown leaving. I know Robert Woods is hurt. I think he's actually going to be playing earlier rather than later, but there's not a lot of veteran talent on the team at the wide receiver position. So there's a chance that Gordon can work into a spot. I think it's a slim chance, but what do you guys think, if anything?
Well, it's just good for him. Like, he's such a exciting guy to, like, he popped off in like 2013, 2014. It was awesome to watch. And then for reasons unknown to me, the NFL is backwards on their policies back then. He kind of got screwed almost, it feels like, out of the NFL. It's easy to cheer for the guy because, like, he's got, like, his stories are outlandish and his suspensions are outlandish, but his play was always amazing. So I hope he pops off. I hope it works out, and he can get a starting role on that team, and it would be exciting to see.
Yeah, for sure. Levi?
So he was actually before my time when it comes to fantasy. I didn't start really caring about football or fantasy until 2015. So I kind of missed the Josh Gordon hype, and I don't have the same rose-colored glasses that everyone else does. So I'm not really looking at this too much.
Fair enough. The younger crowd, not into Josh Gordon. No, I do agree with you, Ben. There was a few players in that same group that kind of got caught up with substances, and the NFL did kind of come down hard on them, and it cost them their careers. He was fortunate enough that they gave him opportunity where some of the other guys did not get it, but hopefully it works out for him. If nothing else, hopefully he's able to stay clean. So we'll move on to probably the biggest cut and re-sign is Kenyon Drake being signed by the Ravens. It's somewhat apparent that Dobbins is not going to be ready for week one. Edwards is not going to be ready for a few weeks. So Drake getting cut by the Raiders and going right to Baltimore. Well, not right to Baltimore, a couple days in between, but going to Baltimore, getting signed. I mean, I think there's a genuine opportunity for him to start week one in that offense. I think it has a pretty decent impact on fantasy as far as him being a flex option in some of your leagues, depending on how your draft went. If you went zero RB, he's definitely a guy you might want to target. He's got receiving upside. I'm not calling him a Hall of Famer, Brian, but I do think that there is some room for him on your
shots
fantasy
fired
team. Oh, I just know, Brian, when we were talking about Drake, I think it was last year, you know, there was a little bit of overhype with Kenyon Drake. So it usually leads into somebody being a Hall of Famer or not. So, but I do think Drake's got some fantasy appeal right now. What do you guys think, Levi?
Yeah, he has some appeal just because of the situation, right? Baltimore, they're going to be a rushing offense, and they got to have people to catch passes with trading away Hollywood. But at the same time, that backfield could be really crowded. You get Mike Davis, you get Dobbins, you get Drake. You know, if you hit on the right guy, then you're going to be happy. But it's kind of a murky situation, so I'm not sure how high I'd be on them. It's probably a good guy to have on your bench and see how things shake out, because, you know, the news on Dobbins continues to be not great. But
after how bad Davis was last year, I literally completely forgot he was on the team. but after how bad he was in Atlanta last year, I mean, I'll admit, I was the number one Mike Davis hype train person last year after the season he had in Carolina. And, that was so disappointing, and to see how easily he just lost a job. So I think Kenyon Drake is a better running back than Mike Davis. And honestly, I did forget that he was there, because he's just less than impressed even in preseason.
Well, it's a better situation, right? Atlanta's offensive line was terrible last year. So
yeah, it was.
Mike Davis could do something in Baltimore.
I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson had a career year behind the same line. So that was the argument I kept making early on, and it got thrown right back in my face, and I couldn't deny it. The line was bad, but other offensive weapons were able to make things happen. So I'm just wondering. I don't discount that he's there. I'm just wondering if Mike Davis might be done.
He's done. You can see it the way the team, like when Drake comes or when Dobbins comes up limping at practice, you know he's not fully healthy. It's not a quick injury to come back from. The first possible running back that they could go get, they did. Mike Davis isn't the answer, and all you really need to know about Kenyon Drake coming in and the hype building is last year when Dobbins went down, and then everyone flocked to Gus Edwards on waivers immediately. And then Edwards went down, and then everybody flocked to the next guy. Like, the team runs the ball. There's no denying that. It's just what they do. So whoever the guy is starting is the guy you want. And even if you don't have him, it's especially in Dynasty, it's helpful to have one of those running backs.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get a shot somewhere.
Oh, Dynasty, definitely. Most likely he's already owned in your Dynasty. But in redraft, I think I'm spending, you know, five to eight fab on him, even this early. What do you think about a price for him in redraft? I mean, he's still in a lot of leagues because nobody's paying attention yet.
Yeah,
that's a good shot to take.
Yeah. To make sure you get him, because a lot of guys are just going to go minimum bid.
Yep.
And then, I don't know, if you go like RB and chill and you're a little thin on running back, he's definitely a nice late draft ad if you're drafting at this point. Or, like you said, just see what you got. Draft a guy that you can IR and try to sneak him on your roster the next day.
Yeah.
I love that strategy.
No, I agree. Usually I'll take a guy at the end of the draft that I can always drop for a guy like this. If I find somebody that's, has a potential for the opportunity to play.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Yep. In a good offense.
In a good offense. Correct. So if Kenyon Drake, check your waiver wires. If Kenyon Drake's out there, take a look at your team and see if he's going to benefit you. He might be worth, if you're the Dobbins owner, he might be worth trying to trade for him in Dynasty. If you're a little short on running backs, he might be worth trying to trade for in Dynasty while people still don't really know what the price is for him yet. You might be able to get a reasonable deal on him. So we will move on to, briefly, Trey Sermon, released by the 49ers, signs with the Eagles. Do you guys think that there's any real fantasy impact from this right now? I bring it up because I'm kind of a Sermon fan a little bit. Third round draft pick. He had the grade with multiple teams at that point. San Fran trades up to get him, and then they release him. They only like using undrafted free agents, apparently.
They don't like using one of their best players at camp, according to John Lynch.
Well, yeah. What do you guys think about Sermon with the Eagles? Sanders did actually start practicing today after 2 weeks off with the hamstring. Do you think Sermon's going to, you know, slide in at the RB3 role? Do you think he's going to be farther down?
I have no idea. So I think he's worth like we said with Kenyon Drake with Baltimore. It's going to be a good offense. They have one of the best offensive lines in the league. You know, it's worth having a guy like that just in case of injury or something like that. But it's hard to predict right now exactly what you're going to get, right? So,
okay. Yep.
Ben. Yeah, I think the talent grade the guy had coming out of the draft, and the Eagles like to run the ball. Sanders isn't exactly the most durable. Gainwell's not the prototypical size for a running back. Like, the opportunity could come pretty quickly. Dynasty, he's a hold or buy low. Redrafted, you can't draft him, but he shouldn't be an expensive add if you need to do it later. And then, yeah, just keep an eye out if either Gainwell or Sanders goes down. His value goes way up, and maybe you can flip him. But, the Niners are such a conundrum with the running back position. I'm just going to echo what I said last week about biggest, maybe hype bust ever was Trey Sermon. So, I don't know. Hope it does well.
Yep, I do as well. So, he's another guy in Dynasty I'm holding. Redraft, I'm not even looking at. And then we'll move on to the last guy, and may not even be worth a whole lot of mention, but there's, because of where he went, there's always the possibility that he could have a big week here or there. So Amir Smith-Marset was released by the Vikings and claimed by the Bears, potentially walks into an offense where he could be the number three wide receiver day one. I mean, it's not, we don't expect the Bears offense to be that good. I think Fields still needs more, you know, I think he steps forward this year from where he left off last year. But I'm not looking for him to put up big numbers yet. I don't look for the offense outside of like Mooney, maybe Kmet to break out and kind of a share with the running backs. But I really don't see a big high scoring offense. So I'm not real sure how interested I am in the number three Bears wide receiver. Dynasty, he's probably worth a hold or a stash to see what happens. But what do you guys think of Marcet?
I think it's probably more of like a DFS type thing, right? So what we've seen from the preseason is they're rolling Fields out more, because partially because their line is terrible, but partially because that's what he's good at. It gives him time to look downfield. It gives receivers time to break open. Smith Marset is a speedy guy. I could see, you know, four long touchdowns this year or something like that, if stuff lines up. They're also a bad team. They're going to have to throw. So probably not relevant for Dynasty or for redraft, but maybe a DFS shot. And he could end up being the wide receiver too. Just depends on if their run of injuries from the preseason continues or not.
Yeah, Ben?
No, they're just so thin at wide receiver, he could get a shot. But Fields doesn't throw the ball enough for me to want anybody on that team outside of Darnell Mooney. So it's tough to make that call. And yeah, if you want to build a really top-heavy DFS lineup and slip him in as one of your flexes, like, could pay off on a week. Just got to find the right week.
Yeah, I would agree. Could be a best ball target as well with where he's gone. If you're doing best ball drafts right now, it might be a late guy you can grab. Always worth a chance for the guy to, you know, rip off a 60 yarder with a touchdown or something like that. So I think that's going to wrap up what we have for the show for this week. Levi, thanks again for coming on with us. Appreciate your availability and the insight that you can provide for us. Do you have anything
you
would like to say to the listeners? Any way they can get a hold of you if they wanted to chat?
Well, I'm Depremier on Sleeper. A lot of your listeners are in a league or an adjacent league to where I'm at, so pretty easy to find there. Other than that, I don't really have any social media stuff. So.
Good for you.
Thanks for having
me on.
Good
for you. You are a very smart man. Yeah. So thank you very much for coming on. We do appreciate it. We got good feedback from having you on last week. So we will continue to have you on when we're available and you're available.
Yeah. At least two people liked it. So that's positive.
That's two more people than liked me hosting. So we're doing well. Ben, any parting words for the listeners?
Yeah. Just echoing. Thank you, Levi, for coming out. I love when you drop some numbers on us. It really adds to the show. I have started a new Twitter for myself for the show at DaydreamingFF. Trying to be a little bit more active on there. On my normal Twitter, I don't really post too much, but this one I'm definitely going to try to float out some stuff, especially game day stuff, because I watch Red Zone, I watch all the games, make sure getting any of that news out that I'm seeing. If anyone has questions or want to follow me on there, please do so. And thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you very much for listening. Like Ben said, you can reach me on Twitter at the FF Degenerate. You can find me in Sleeper at Solinator. If you want to reach out to the show, you have a question, you have a trade you want to have analyzed, just want to tell us we suck, tell us we're doing something right, you can email us at dddfantasyfootball@gmail.com. You can visit us at our website, www.daydreamingdegenerates.com. You can find us on Facebook at Daydreaming Degenerates Fantasy Football Podcast. We also have a Patreon that you can get to through the website, or if you go to Patreon and search for Daydreaming Degenerates, we appreciate any help you want to give to the show. It helps us with the giveaways and stuff that we do and being able to put out the episodes. So thank you very much for that. And we will be putting out, like I said, we've got 5 judgments that are going to be coming out for the listener leagues over the next few days. I hope to have them all out before Thursday. And then there's also going to be another separate judgment that we're doing for another league. So you look out for that too if you want. But again, thank you guys very much for listening, and we will see you next week.